we're holding on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Continuing on the subject of if you sell this thing, what is and isn't included with it. The Mishnah says, Hamoicher es hachamor, a person sells a donkey, loy mocher es kelev, then with that he hasn't automatically sold its kelim, and we're going to see in the kelim means gear. We're going to see in the Gemara what kind of gear we're talking about. In the previous Mishnah, by the way, we had where you sold a wagon, whether you did or didn't sell the mules that pull it, and similarly with a yoke and oxen. Rashbam points out over there that each of these types of animals tends to go with this particular thing. It doesn't mean, for example, if let's say you have a wagon that's pulled by oxen, you wouldn't have the same. Well, if you have in this case, for example, you sell an ox or a mule, you wouldn't have the same question about what gear is and isn't sold, but the derech is, the normal way is that oxen are used for plowing and mules are used for pulling wagons, and here we're talking about a donkey, which is used for, so as we're going to see in the Gemara, the gear we're talking about can be things for riding on, or it can be things for hauling packages and loads on. Anyway, so we'll see in the Gemara exactly what kelim we're talking about. So the Tanakhama is saying then that you haven't automatically sold that gear together with the donkey. Nochum Amadi, Oyma Mocha Caleb. Nochum Amadi says that you have. We have Nochum Amadi here and there in Mishnayos. He was a Tana who lived at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. We learned about him, and particularly in Masechta Nazir, where some people came who had been Nazirim, and they found the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, and Nochum Amadi was Matan Nedir for them. Anyway, so he holds that yes, you have sold the gear, subject to what we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a pa'amim mechorin, pa'amim einin mechorin. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Sometimes that gear is sold automatically together with the donkey. Sometimes not. Kate said, "What do we mean? Hayach chamor l'fon of a kelev olav. If the donkey was standing in front of them with its gear on it, va'omaloi mechori chamor chazer." And the potential buyer says to the owner of the donkey, sell me this donkey of yours, Hare Caleb Mechorin, then the gear would be sold, because Chamor Chazeh implies that we're talking about the donkey as it is right now with all the gear attached. On the other hand, if he says Chamor Chahu, if he says, this is your donkey, which is more like a question, like, if this is your donkey, are you willing to sell it to me? So then, if the other guy agrees, ain't Caleb Mechorin, and they don't specify one way or the other, ain't Caleb Mechorin, then the gear is not automatically sold with it, because then it amounts to just the saying that he wants to buy the donkey by itself. As we're going to see in the Gemara, one distinction we're going to make is whether the gear is actually on the donkey or not. So that's going to factor in. The Gemara is going to discuss all these various opinions and details in the Mishnah. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda, so the Tanakhama is saying, it seemingly as a blanket statement, that they are all sold. Nochum Amadi seems to be saying seemingly as a blanket statement that none of them are sold. And Rabbi Yehuda seems to be taking a middle ground. We'll see in the Gemara what's actually going on. So the Gemara starts off, Oma Ola Machlokas Besak V'Disaki Avakum. So Ola says the machloikas of our Mishnah, at least between the Tanakhama and Nochum Amadi, is about a sack, well, about things that are used for hauling packages and loads. So a sack, which is a sack, the disakia is a double sack. The word disakia, is the D is a prefix meaning two. It's comes from Greek. You have it occasionally in English as well, like the dye of carbon dioxide. And sakia, again, would be sack. So a sack is just that, a single sack that you would put on the donkey's back. A disakia is an arrangement where you have two sacks held together by a rope or a strap or whatever that hang on the two sides of the animal. The kumni, or a third thing that they would be arguing about, is a kumni, which the Gemara is going to explain further on, is a particular type of saddle that women use when they ride on a donkey. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that women are supposed to ride side saddle, unlike a man who rides a stride. It's more tzniyistic that way. So b'pashtus, then, a kumni is built differently than a regular saddle, and it's more of a burden for the animal. So those kinds of things is where the Tanakhama is saying that those are sold, and Nochum Amadi says they're not. So what? So therefore, the underlying machloekas is the Tanakhama sova stam chamur lukiv koi. The Tanakhama takes the view that the main purpose, in general, by default, a donkey is meant for riding on. And when we say riding, we mean for men to ride on, where they ride on in a stride, the normal way that the normal way that's expected to ride on an animal. So the Tanakhama would say then that things that are meant for hauling packages and loads and merchandise or whatever are not automatically included. Nochum Amori Sava was Nochum Amori holds Stam Chamor L'Masri Koi. By default, a donkey is meant for carrying burdens, and therefore the sack and so forth, which are used for that purpose, are going to be included. Avol, but continues Ula, Ukaf, when it comes to a saddle, Umardas and a saddle blanket, the Ukaf is more like a hard saddle that you're going to sit on. A mardas is more like a softer thing. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that part of the purpose of the mardas is not just for comfort. It's not just for the rider's comfort. It's also for the animal's comfort. Donkeys, the Gemara elsewhere mentions, are naturally prone to feeling cold. So you put on them a mardas, which is like a saddle blanket, in order to warm them up. It can also be, for example, that it would prevent the animal's back from chafing when you put the saddle on it. Anyway, so ukuf would be the hard saddle that you sit on. Mardas would be a softer saddle or saddle blanket that you put underneath it. Kilkali, the chavak, or kilkali and chavak, which are the various straps that are used to hold the ukuf and the mardas in place. The translations that the Rashbam gives are that the kilkali would be a strap that goes around the belly of the animal to hold the gear in place on that side, and the chavak would be one that goes around the front of the animal and accomplishes the same thing and prevents the saddle and whatnot from sliding forward. Anyway, those kinds of things, which are meant for riding, divrei hakol mechurin, then everybody, both the Tanakhama and Nochum Amadi, would hold that those are automatically sold because all of those are necessary for riding. So according to the Tanakhama, who says the main purpose of a donkey is to ride on, then those would be included. As far as Nochum Amadi, he says the main purpose of a donkey is to carry burdens, but the fact is, he says these things also, the ukuf and mardas and so forth, are also meant when you're carrying burdens. So he would say that they're included as well. That's a point to the Rashbam, that the point is that these things are kind of dual use, and therefore according to both of them it would be included. On the other hand, there are Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ritva, explain that no, these are the saddle and the various other gear that goes with it are meant exclusively for riding, not for carrying packages. But so they explain what the first line of the Gemara differently, what Ula says a little differently. Not that Nochum Amadi says that the main purpose of a donkey is, so he would say that yes, the main purpose of a donkey is to ride on, but he would agree with the Tanakhama. The main purpose of a donkey is to ride on. However, it's so common to also use it for packages, so therefore it would include that kind of gear as well. Anyway, so Ula is saying again, we have to distinguish, says Ula, between things that are meant for carrying burdens, where those, you have the Tanakhama and Nochum Amadi argue basically how widespread is it that donkeys are used for that, such that we can say when he says sold, I'm selling you my donkey, without specifying, those things would automatically be included. But riding is common enough where these things are dual use for both riding and carrying, as the case may be, and therefore that they would automatically be included. Well, the Gemara says may speak, though I have a contradiction against Ola. A Braisa says, if the person explicitly says chamur v'kelev ani mocholach, now the Mishnah had talked about where he just says, I'm selling you the donkey, without specifying anything. And it said, so again, the Tanakhama had said the kelev are not automatically included, and Nochum Amadi says it is, and we have to figure out what kelev we're talking about. The Braisa says a bit of a different case, where he actually said, I'm selling you the donkey together with its kelev. Well, hareza mocher is a ukuf vesa madas vesa kilkali vesa chedek. So then all of that equipment that's used for riding, the saddle blanket, and the straps that hold everything in place are included, because those would be included in kelim. But he doesn't automatically include the sack, the double sack, and the women's and the women's saddle, which are meant primarily for carrying packages. But the Braisa continues, it was mancha omalehi v'chol masha aleha. But if he says that I'm selling you the donkey and everything that's on it, then they're all sold, including the things that are meant for packages. Well, time of the omalechamor v'kela. Well, the Braisa is implying only because he mentioned Kalim. So that tells us to include something extra that wouldn't have been included otherwise. Udakoni uko from Audas. The result of that is that therefore he's including also the saddle and the saddle blanket and whatnot. Hole omale hochi loy, but implying if he didn't say the word kalim, then those wouldn't even be included. Now, according to Ula is saying that even the Tanakhama would say that the ukuf and maudas are always included, even if you didn't say that I'm including the kalim. Whereas from the Braisa, it seems that only if you say I'm including the kalim, only then are those included. So the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, no, who adin da'afagav dole omale chamor v'kelov nami, ukuf madas mechorin. No, actually, the Braisa is not implying that if he hadn't said the word kelov, then those things wouldn't be sold, because yes, that would contradict Ola. The Braisa means even if he didn't say the words for Kalov, then still Nami Ukofa Madas Mahurin, the saddle and the saddle blanket are still sold together with the animal. But Hawk Mashmalon. So what is the Braisa giving us a chiddush? So what is the Braisa saying, telling us by adding the word v'chelov, is the Afagav de Omale Chamur v'chelov, even though on the contrary. Even though he explicitly says that I'm selling you the donkey together with Kalo, sack the sack of a kumni loikoni. Nevertheless, the sacks and the women's riding saddle are not included. In other words, the chiddush of the Brai says the other way around. Not that without saying the Kalo, nothing is included. Even Ula is telling us, even without saying the Kalo, certain things are included. On the contrary, you would have thought the kalev maybe includes all the kind of gear that goes with the animal, whether for riding or whether for carrying packages. Comes the Braisa and tells you, no, that even when you say the kalev, then those are not included. So that doesn't contradict Ola. So the Gemara first says, my kumni. So okay, now that we clarified that point, what is a kumni? Amar Papa Bashmuel Mer Kavta Dinoshi means a saddle that's used by women where they ride. Where again, since they're riding side saddle, then it's more of a burden for the animal. So Bechlal, we learned in Bava Metzia as well that not only do they ride side saddle, but in general they're not even used to riding on an animal, and therefore like they don't sit very comfortably on it, and therefore they sit on it more in a way that's a burden for the animal more than men, who are more used to riding animals and know how to shift their weight appropriately. Okay, well now the Gemara says Iboilahu. Now the question becomes, but Oidan Olav Machlokas. Now what about? So far, what are we saying? That Ula has told us that the whole machloikas is as far as the gear that's used for transporting packages, as far as the gear for riding. Ula is telling us both the Tanakhama and Nochem HaMadi would say that they are included in the sale. And as the Braisa had clarified for us, even if you add v'chelav, even if you don't, it doesn't matter whether you say v'chelav or not. If you add the word v'chelav, it doesn't come to add the gear that's used for packages. Well, the Gemara says, but oidan olav machloikas. Now, what about then? Would the machloikas about the sack and disakia and so forth be when they're actually on the donkey, when it's being sold? And even so, the Chachamim are saying that they're not included. But if they're not actually on the animal at the time of the sale, then even Nochem HaMadi would agree that they're not automatically sold unless he specified. In fact, the Rashbam says the same thing. The same thing. You could ask a question. What about the Gemara? Could equally well ask the question. What about the riding gear, the saddle and the saddle blanket, and so forth? Would we say that if they're not on the animal at the time of the sale, they're not automatically sold? On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, the saddle and whatnot is going to be sold no matter what. Whether it's on the animal or not, the Gemara is not even asking that question. It's asking only about the gear for only about the gear for transporting things. Anyway, maybe you would say that when the sack and disakia and so forth, and according to the Rashbam, also the saddle and whatever, are not on the animal, then Nochum Amoni would agree they're not sold. Or maybe on the contrary, maybe the machloikas is when they're not on the animal at the time of the sale, but when they are on top of it, maybe on the contrary, the Chachamim would agree with Nochum, and they would say that if they're on it, no matter what we're talking about, whether we're talking about the riding gear or the transporting gear, then the Chachamim would agree maybe that it is that they are sold. And in that case, then, when Ullah had said that Kula Alma, that everybody would agree when it comes to Divrei Hakel, when he said Divrei Hakel Mechorin, that everybody would agree that the saddle and so forth are sold, according to the second way of looking at it, maybe that would only mean if they're, maybe that would mean that only with when they're not on it. So we would say then the Ukaf and Mardas, when everybody agrees that they're sold, that would be even if they're not on it. In fact, Tosfa says that the Gemara could ask a third possibility as well. Maybe they're arguing in both cases. Maybe whether the gear is on the animal or not. At the time, Nochum was going to say that everything is always sold, but including the gear for transporting packages, and the Chum would say that no, only the saddle is ever sold with it. So what is it? So the Gemara says, Tashma, well, let's prove from the Braisa we quoted before, the Braisa had said that if you said that I'm selling the animal and everything that's on it, then everything is included in the sale, including because we said, the Braisa had said before that if he says v'chelav, then that includes the riding equipment, and then we said when he said hi v'chol masha aleha, then it does include also the equipment for transporting packages. So now let's consider. Now that's clearly said v'chol masha aleha, everything that's on the animal right now. So if you were to understand the machloikas of the Chachamim and Nochum Amadi as being when the equipment is on the animal now, then good, homani rabbani, then this braisa would be according to the Chachamim and say that only when it's on it is it sold, but anything that's not on the animal right now is not sold. Eliyam she'en oidon all of machloikas. But if you were going to, so homani rabbanan, he said then that braisa that we quoted before would be according to the Chachamim. And our Mishnah, in our Mishnah, you have Nochum Amadi who would disagree with that. But if you were going to tell me that the machlokas would be when the gear is not on the animal, and Nochum Amadi would nevertheless say, since this gear goes with this animal for some times, then therefore it's included in the sale, but you would say that if it was actually on the animal right now, then everybody would agree with it sold, that if that's sold, homani, then who would this braisa be like? It wouldn't be like the chachamim, because they would say that as long as they're on it, then you don't need to say yivachol mashallah automatically. It would be included in according to Nochum Amadi the same way. So doesn't that show, therefore, the machlokas must be only when the gear is on it right now, and then the chachamim are saying, and the braisa follows the chachamim, that only if you say hivachol masha aleha are we going to include the equipment for carrying packages, and Nochum Amadi would say, regardless, they're sold. So the Gemara answers, la'olam b'she'en odon olav machlokas. No, after all, you could say that the machlokas is even when the equipment is not on the animal right now. V'rabbanan hi, yes, the Braisa would be according to the Chachamim, the Ema, but you fix up the wording of the Braisa a little bit. When the Braisa had said that if he says that I'm selling you it and everything that's on it, maybe it doesn't mean that's on it right now, everything that's suitable to be on it. So then we would say, by adding those words, it means that he's coming to include the equipment for the packages, the sack and disakia and so forth. So, by the way, the Rashbam points out, by the way, in fact, the Gemara, instead of when it asks the question about if you say the Braisa is talking about when they're not on it, and you're going to say the Machloikus is only then, if it's on it, then everybody would agree it's sold. You don't even have to question it only from the Sefer. The Reisha clearly says that you haven't sold the sack and disakia, etc. Where you just say I'm selling you I'm just selling you the chamur and its cape. However, the main question was that because in the Sefer it says v'chol masha aleha, everything that's on it, implying that the Mishnah, that the Braisa is talking about specifically where they're on it. So now the answer is that's fine. That part of the Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that they're literally on it right now. It means these are things that are suitable to be on it. In other words, he's saying, I have this equipment, which I sometimes use with this donkey right now. It's not on it, but is it included or not included with the sale? That would be what's under discussion in the Braisa. But the Braisa would still be, according to the Chachamim, even if we understand that the Chachamim are saying their din, and according to Ula's clarification of it, even when the equipment is not right now on the end. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's try to prove then from the continuation of the Mishnah after the Tanakama and Nochem Amadi, then we had Rabbi Yehuda's. So Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a palmim mechurin, palmim shein mechurin. Now Rabbi Yehuda had said that sometimes the equipment is sold and sometimes not. Now Rabbi Yehuda is clearly talking about a case, clearly distinguishing. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly talking about when the equipment is on the animal right now, because he's only distinguishing between whether you say. Sell me this animal versus when you say, is this animal yours? I would like to buy it. So Rabbi Yehuda is clearly drawing that distinction between in both cases. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where the equipment is on the animal right now, and it's just a difference of the wording that he used. In fact, Maor Shav points out, if we look in Mishnayos, if we look in the Mishnah as it was printed earlier on the Amud, you actually have the words clearly, the Chelav Olav, that it had its equipment on it. So the Rashbam is saying we can infer that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where the equipment is on it, because the only distinction he makes is whether you say Chamur Chazer or Chamur Chahu. So Maor Shav points out that actually, given that we have in front of us in the Mishnah the actual words of Chelav Olav, then you don't really need to infer that. It says it clearly in the Mishnah. Evidently, the Rashbam did not have those words in his version of the Mishnah. Anyway, given Rabbi Yehuda's statement then, so my lab amai dekama tanakama poi Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda must be referring to what the Tanakama was talking about. Namely, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda had heard that the Tanakama, that the other Chachamim, are saying that the machloikas of between them and Nochem Amadi is when the equipment is on the animal right now, where the Chachamim are saying that it's not necessarily sold, and Nochem Amadi says it is. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you should know that I'm actually coming to say a third possibility. I'm going to come to kind of make a compromise between you and Nochem Amadi. You, Tanakama, are saying that even if it's on the animal right now, it's not the equipment for carrying packages is not included. Nochem Amadi says that it is. And I'm saying it really depends what kind of wording he used. So on the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda then is following up on the Tanakama, and that would imply that the Tanakama is also talking about when the equipment is on the animal right now. Tosfos discusses actually the actual Girsa over here is that the Gemara had started with the assumption, maybe a little bit differently, that Rabbi Yehuda is maybe coming to explain Nochum Amadi's reasoning. So he's not coming necessarily to give a third opinion, but rather to explain to the Chachamim why does Nochum Amadi hold as he does. Anyway, the answer is, so given that, then either way, however you learn that, the point is that from Rabbi Yehuda's statement, we can deduce what the Chachamim and Nochum Amadi respectively were saying. the answer is like, no, not necessarily. Rabbi Yehuda milta achriti kama, Rabbi Yehuda may be saying something different, that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a different scenario. So in other words, the Tanakama is saying that when the gear is not on the animal, then it's not automatically sold. When it's on it, then it's automatically sold. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that on the contrary, you know what, even when it's on the animal, not necessarily are they always going to be included. It depends whether he says chamor chazeh or chamor chahu. Depends whether he says as a statement, I want to buy this donkey, or whether he's first asking, is this your donkey? I'd like to buy it. So far still no proof of what the case is where the Tanakama and Nochum Amadi are arguing about. Omale Ravina L'Ravashi, so Ravina says to Ravashi Toshma, we can't prove it from our Mishnah, but maybe we can prove it from the previous Mishnah. We learned in the previous Mishnah, Mocho Es HaKorin, that if a person sold the wagon, loy mocher as a produce, then he hasn't automatically sold the mules that pull the wagon. And we had in the Gemara over there where Rav Tachlifa ba Ma'arava had taught a braisa in front of Rav Abohu that said mocheras a produce, that no, on the contrary, when you sell the wagon, you do automatically include the mules. The Omele and Rav Abohu had objected, v'hanan lo mocha tanan, what do you mean the Mishnah had said that he hasn't sold it? V'omale ismiye, and Rav Tachlifa had asked in that case, should I delete that braisa from my repertoire? V'omale, and that Rav Abohu had explained to him, loy, no, you don't have to, t'tagu masnisach ba'adukim boy, instead, from now on, explain that your braisa is talking about where the animals, where the mules are attached to the wagon at the time of the sale. So then we're saying when he says, I'm selling you the wagon, then we assume it means the wagon as is together with the animals. Well, that Mishnah was talking about. So we're saying the Braisa is talking about where the animals are attacked or are hitched up there. Miklald Masnissin, Bishaina Dukuboy, implying that the Mishnah that we learned previously on Ein Zayin Omid Beis that mentioned where you sold the wagon, you haven't automatically sold the mules, is talking about where they're not attached there. Umid Resha Bishain Odon Olav. Now, given then that the Resha, that previous Mishnah, is talking about where the thing that we're discussing, whether it's included in the sale, namely in that case, the animals, is not attached. Well, then that would give us reason to assume that in the Sefer and on Mishnah also, we're talking about where that equipment is not actually on. Because in general, we would assume that the different Mishnayos, one after the other, on the same topic, are all talking about similar scenarios. So that would give us that in the case of the wagon, the Mishnah is saying the animals are not attached to it right now. Therefore, when you sell the wagon, the animals are not automatically included. And our Mishnah would be continuing within the animal and its gear itself. We're talking about where the gear is not on it right now. And the Tanakama would say that it's not included in the sale. And Nochum Amadi would say that it is. So that would clarify things then. Of course, if we look at it that way, then there we have the answer. We're talking about that the gear is not on the animal right now, and therefore the Tanakama and Nochum Amadi argue is that gear included. And then if they're actually on it at the time of the sale, then it would be like the equivalent of the mules being hitched up to the wagon in the previous Mishnah, where Rav Tachlifa's Braisa had said that in that case they are included. And the same way over here, we would say that they are included even according to the Chacham. The Gemara says, Adrabba, on the contrary, if you're telling me that all the Mishnayos of our Perek are supposed to be talking about the same kind of case where they're all where the secondary thing that we're discussing, whether it's included in the sale, is on or attached to the primary thing. Well, if you're going to go that way, then we can go back to the first Eimer Resha, then go back to the first Mishnah of the Perek. Namely, we have the case where a person is selling somebody else a ship, and we said what is and isn't included in the sale of the ship. And we said, we said that with the sale of the ship, you have not included the slaves who row the oars of the boat or transport the merchandise on and off it. And you also haven't included the antiki. And we explained in the Gemara over there that we explained just before the previous Mishnah, my antiki amra papa iska de begava. It means the merchandise that's on the ship right now. So in other words, so any merchandise that's not on the ship right now is not called antiki. So therefore, that would show, on the contrary, if you look based on that, then it means, on the contrary, the first Mishnah of the Perek is talking about a case where something is on the ship right now, the merchandise is on the ship, and nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying it's not sold. So we are talking about Oidon Olav. We are talking about that the secondary item is on the primary item, and nevertheless, we're saying something depending on the circumstances, depending what the secondary item is, it is or isn't sold. That's Rashbam's first explanation. He gives a second explanation. No, really, antiki could include the merchandise that's not on the boat right now, but there's no chiddush in that. The Mishnah doesn't even need to say that. The Mishnah is focusing on when Rapapa says antiki means the merchandise that's on it, meaning, in other words, he's saying the merchandise that's off it obviously is not going to be included, only the merchandise on it. Either way, the point is the Mishnah is obviously talking about Oidon Olav, where it is on it right now. So what are you going to tell me then? So far you have the first Mishnah of the Perek is talking about where Oidon Olav and saying that the antiki that is on it is not included. The second Mishnah we would be saying is talking about where the animals are not Oidon Olav because they're not actually hitched up to the wagon right now. And now on Mishnah then, so which one? Could be either one. Ella, Tana, Mili, Mili, Katoni. So the answer is the Tana is not trying to tell us the same case in each case. Each Mishnah is talking in a different scenario because ultimately it all depends on Minhogish Olam. There are some things that are included with something else when Oidon Olav. And then there are other things where even Ein Oidon Olav, then they're going to be included. So you can't generalize and say that these Mishnayos are talking about Oidon Olav or not, because it really depends. In each individual case, each individual type of thing that you're selling, there's sometimes going to be things that are Oidon Olav and included only then, and other things that are going to be included even if Ein Oidon Olav, and on the other hand, maybe even there are going to be things that even when Oidon Olav are not necessarily included. So there's really no proof one way or the other in what case is the argument between the Tanna Kamma and Nochum HaMadi, whether the argument is specifically where they're on it, or whether the argument is even when they're not on it at the time of the sale. The halacha is going to be like the Tanna Kamma. Again, the halacha is going to be like the Tanna Kamma against Nochum HaMadi. So in short, in other words, ultimately, as with all of the things in these parakim, it's going to depend on Minhag HaMedina, but even if the equipment for packages is on the animal right now, then not necessarily. See here, the halacha is brought in the Rambam, and in Shulchan Aruch is that you sell a donkey, then automatically we said the riding equipment is included regardless, as Ola had said. But as far as the sack and the women's riding and the women's saddle, etc., even if they're olav, even if they're on it, then they're not included, because since the Gemara has left it with a suffix, and if you want to be able to claim that they're included, amoritz mechavel avarah. Okay, so the Gemara brings Simon Zagam Nasan. This following Simon is going to be key letters of the names of six Tanoim who we're going to say hold of the concept that when you said, when one of them being the last one, last Nun, being Nochum HaMadi of our Mishnah, who hold that when you're selling item A, that automatically item B is included with it, even if it's even though the other Chachamim would say that it's not. So the Simon Zagam Nasan. I mentioned before a sefer called Mamnatseach LeDavid from Reb David Pardo, where he he likes to go through all these simonim in the Gemara and explain the deeper reason behind them. One interesting point he makes over here is, we've discussed as far as all of this, do these dinim that we've been talking about throughout these parakim, what is included and what isn't included by default, does that apply only to sales, or does it apply to gifts as well? In particular, we said when it comes to land, there's much more reason to say that the dinim of the previous perek primarily apply when you're selling it, because the Mishnah had said over there, when you're gifting it, so we discussed over there that when you're gifting, kol anosim ba'ayin yofa anosim, he's giving it more generously, as opposed to with a sale, we have the machlokas Rav Akiva and the Chachamim, whether he's doing ba'ayin yofa or ba'ayin ra. So he points out the first three tanoim that we're going to bring over here, are talking about in the case of sales of land, and therefore that part of the simon ends with a mem, in order to remind us that the machloikas in those cases is only about michir, as opposed to the second set ends with a nun, to tell us there they're talking about metaltlin, and what they would say applies, and they would argue with the chachamim of their respective times, whether by moicher or whether by noisin, whether he's giving as a gift, you would still have the same machlokas. Whereas the first group would say that no, only their tanakama respectively would hold that it's not, that something is not included where it's a sale, but they would agree that it's included when it's given as a gift. Anyway, so Omer Abaya, Rebbe Lozer, the Zion stands for the Zion of a Lozer, or Rabbi Eliezer, rather, actually. So Rabbi Eliezer, the Zion stands for that. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that's the Gimel. Rabbi Meir, there's the Mem. Rabbi Nosson, there's the Nun. Rabbi Sumchos, there's the Samach. Rabbi Nochum Amadi, and Nochum Amadi, there's the Nun. Kulu Svir Lahu. So Abaya says all six of those Tanoim hold. Ki Mazben Inish Midi, when a person is selling something, then he's selling the thing together with all of the equipment that goes with it. Now, the Rashbam points out, we don't, even Abaya doesn't actually mean that they would literally all agree with one another, where the, not necessarily is the din, for example, when we're going to bring now Rabbi Eliezer's din, not necessarily would the other five Tanoim agree with the particular case that he's saying. But all of them, But all of them have the same, there's an underlying current that we can find in common with all of them, that each of them in their own way holds that when you're selling A, you're automatically including B. Each one has a different application of it that he holds that way. Tosfos mentions the same thing. You have other examples of that in Shas. The fact is, though, we have a rule that goes back to the time of the Goyim, at least, that says Ein Halacha Keshita, that when the Gemara does this kind of thing, and it says this Tana and this Tana and this Tana hold such and such, then it means the Halacha is not like them. First of all, because as the Rashbam and Tosfos are saying, they themselves don't necessarily agree with themselves on all the different applications of it. So each one is a das yochid in his area. But in any case, the fact that we're saying those six implies that all the other chacham hold different. So what are the six cases that we're talking about? Rabbi Eliezer, we see Rabbi Eliezer holds of such a thing. The Tanan, we learned in the previous parak. Rabbi Eliezer, Oma, Amocher, Es Beis Abad, Mocher, Es Akor. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you sell an olive press, then automatically, unlike the Tanakhama, who said that among the equipment you haven't automatically sold with the olive press is the beam that you actually used to press the olives, Rabbi Eliezer had said that it is included because, as he said over there, it's not called, the only reason that it's called an olive press is because it has that beam for pressing. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds of that basic concept that you're selling something, then you're selling kol tashmishte, you're selling all of the things, all of the equipment that's used with it. Well, not necessarily all, even Rabbi Eliezer holds that not including everything, but that includes more than what the Tanakh say at any rate. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanan, we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds of a similar concept. The Tanan, we learned also in the previous parak, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that if you sell a city, then automatically you sell the santer with it, where we discussed what exactly the santer is. It's the city, it's the city official who knows all the property lines and all of the tax and all of the tax assessments, or he's the city watchman, we said the Gemara had brought up another possibility over there that it meant the fields that surround the city. Whatever the case, again, the Tanakhama had said that they're not, that the santer is not automatically included, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had disagreed, showing that he basically holds of that concept. You're selling a city, then you have to sell with it something that's important to the city, however you define the santer. And so we see that he holds of that So we see that he holds of that concept, at least in that particular case. Reb Meir, where we see Reb Meir holds of that. The Tanya, we learned also in the previous parak, Reb Meir oimim mochar sakera mochar tashmishi aker. Reb Meir had said that if you sell a vineyard, then you've automatically sold the tashmishim of the vineyard. So for example, we had in the previous parak, we talked about, for example, that in a field, in a vineyard, for example, you might have sticks, that we said, forked sticks that are used to hold up the branches of the grapevines. And we said, according to the Chachamim over there, they're included in the sale only if they're actually stuck into the ground right now and ready for use. Whereas according to the mayor, we said, even if they're not actually stuck into the ground right now, as long as they're ready for use, as long as they're shaped and peeled and whatever and ready for that purpose, then they would be sold. So we see again that Reb Meir, like these other Tanoim that we're saying over here, has a more expansive view than the Tanakama of what than the Chachamim of what is included. Next, Reb Nosson v'Sumchus. Where do we see Reb Nosson and Reb Sumchus hold of that concept? At the beginning of the parak, we had Bitzis v'Dugis when we talk about selling a ship. And we said that Reb Nosson had said that if you sell a ship, automatically you include the bitzis. And according to some, of course, you automatically include the dugis. And we said, this was back at the beginning of the parak, that a bitzis and a dugis are basically the same thing. They're small boats that are used either to load and unload the passengers when you're anchoring in shallow water and the big ship can't get too close to the edge, or that would be a bitzis. And we said over there, Reb Nosson, who's from Bavel, used that terminology because in Bavel, that kind of thing was in common use, whereas Sumchus was from Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have that many rivers and they don't have that kind of shallows. So instead he used the term dugis, which means a boat that's used for fishing. Anyway, again, the Tanakama had said implicitly that those are not included. And Reb Nosson and Sumchus are saying that it is included. So again, we see that each of them holds a more expansive definition of what's included with a sale. And Reb Nochum Amodi, Hoda Amora, Nochum Amodi. We have an Or Mishnah where he's saying that the equipment for carrying packages is included in a sale, even if you didn't specify it. And we said, and we said in the Gemara that maybe even that would apply, that maybe even Nochum Amodi would hold that way, even if it's not actually on the animal right now. So that's so Abaye is summarizing, and we often find Abaye doing this throughout Shas, that he summarizes here all the Tanoim who hold of this basic concept, and each one applies it in a different case. Again, as the Rashbam says and Tosafot says, doesn't necessarily mean they would all agree with each other's opinions, but they all are based on the same underlying principle. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda oimer pa'amim mechurin before. Rabbi Yehuda had said that it depends. Sometimes the equipment is sold with the animal, sometimes not. And the distinction was whether he said chamor chazeh, this donkey of yours, versus when he says chamor chahu, which basically means is it your donkey, which basically means it is your donkey. So the Gemara asks, ma'ishna chamor chazu or ma'ishna chamor chahu? What is the actual difference between these two lashonas? So the answer is Rava explains chamor chazu yoda the chamor dehu. What it means is when he says chamor chazu means he knows already that this donkey belongs to Pliny. So he's not coming to him with a question. I know that this is your donkey. So in other words, if he just says, if he just wants to say, sell me your donkey, he would just say, sell me your donkey. Why would he use the expression? After all, the Rashbam says, we're not talking about, let's say that there are two donkeys right there and he has to specify, sell me this one. So when he says this, it must mean this, meaning as it is right now with the equipment on it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says in that case, then the equipment is included. When he says chamor chazu means he knows that this is his donkey and there's no other donkey that's a candidate for him to sell, because right now the guy only has the one donkey in front of him. So when he adds that word this, mishum kalev kamalei, it must mean that he means that he wants to buy it as is with all of the equipment attached to him, as opposed to when he says chamor chahu. When he says it is your donkey, it's more like a question. I don't know. Is this your donkey? So then all he means is, is this your donkey? And if so, then I'd like you to sell it to me. So therefore, so the word who, therefore, is not anything extra. When he says means I know this is your donkey and I want to buy it. If he just wanted to buy it, he would say, sell me chamorcha. So the zoo means something extra. It means as in. But when he asks chamorcha who, he has to use that word who. It's part of the question. So therefore, so it doesn't necessarily mean that he intends to buy the equipment as well, even if it's on him. It would be the equivalent of saying mecholi chamorcha. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's not so much a difference between zoo and who, it's rather a difference of whether that extra word is necessary or not. And if it's not necessary, then we assume that it means the donkey as it is with all that equipment. Is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda on that? So there are so the Rashba points out that the fact that Rava bothers to tell us what Rabbi Yehuda means would imply the halacha is like him. You have a rule a lot of times when the Gemara analyzes a particular opinion, then it means that the halacha is like that. On the other hand, the Nimukah Yosef says that no, Rava just wants to explain why Rabbi Yehuda is not contradicting himself. The fact is that the Rif, who summarizes the Gemara and brings the Rif doesn't do like the Rambam and restate the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, the entire Gemara, but he does when he's dealing with the Gemara and he wants to imply who the halacha is like. He brings only the opinion that the halacha is like. So in this case, he only brings the Tanna Kamma. He doesn't bring Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, so that would imply he holds that it's not like that. And in fact, the later poskim, the Rambam, and eventually the Shulchan Aruch, don't bring Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold like the Chacham. Okay. Next, the Mishnah says, so to do the actual words inside. So again, Omar Rav Chamor Chazu, when he says this, your donkey Yada the Chamri today, who he knows the donkey belongs to the other guy. Behind the Amalei Zu Mishum Caleb. Carmelay, when he says zoo, it means that he wants to add the Caleb. He means the donkey as it is right now. On the other hand, Chamur Chahu, when he says Chamur Chahu, the Layada, the Chamri Didehu, he doesn't know if this is the other guy's donkey yet. So he's just asking, Chamur Chahu, Shatim Kerenali, is this your donkey? I'd like you to sell it to me, but not implying that he's including the equipment as well. Okay. Mishnah says, Chamur Chahu, Chamur. When a person sells a donkey, mocher es hasiach, then automatically with it, he's selling the baby donkey. The baby donkey is called siach for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Mocher es hapora, like mocher es bna. On the other hand, if you sell a cow, you haven't automatically sold the baby the baby calf that comes with it. For reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, what that distinction is. The Tosfos Yom Tov points out an interesting nuance that by the cow we're not saying mocher sapara le mocher sa'egel. We're not calling the baby by its species name. Whereas with the donkey we're calling the baby by the name siach rather than just saying bna. So he says because the Gemara is going to explain why a baby donkey is called siach, and therefore so the Mishnah uses that precisely in order to hint to that point. There's a special reason why a baby donkey is called siach, and as opposed to with a cow, there's not really we don't have to really delve into at this stage a special reason why it's called egel, and therefore it doesn't bother using the word egel and just uses the word bna. Continues the Mishnah, mocher ashba, if you sold a garbage heap. Mocher zivla, then automatically with it you're selling the waste, the animal dung that's already in there. So the Rashbam explains the ashba itself would be a place which is either three tefachim sunken in from the surrounding land or three tefachim raised up above the surrounding land. One way or the other, it's a place that's designated for him to put. To pile up his animal waste and eventually to use it as fertilizer. So if he sells that space, then automatically he's selling whatever fertilizer is there at the time. Mochabur, the same way if he sells a pit, a water pit, mochamemeha, then automatically he's selling the water that's in the pit right now. Mocha kaveras. Similarly, if he sells a beehive, mocha dvorim, then automatically he's selling the bees that are in. Mocha shovach, and if he sells a birdhouse of the kind that, where as we've talked about before, it has a lot of different little cubicles in it where birds come and nest, then mocha yonim, then automatically he's sold the birds, the doves that are in it right now. Because basically all of those things are bottle. Each of those are considered bottle relative to the thing that's kavua. So the Rashbam says, now the other way around, if you were to say, I'm selling you the waste, then you haven't automatically sold the space where that's deposited. Or if you sell, say, I'm selling you the water, you haven't automatically sold the burr. The Mishnah doesn't even need to say that, says the Rashbam, because it's a very partial thing. Okay, well, the Gemara asks, as far as the first part of the Mishnah involving the mother animal and the baby animal, when we said chamur, by the way, in the Mishnah, as we're going to see, as we work it out in the Gemara over here, even though it used the word chamor in the masculine, it really means chamorah, it really means the feminine, it really means a female donkey. So the question is, hey, dummy, what's the case? So we're saying that you didn't specify anything, and with a donkey, the baby, with a mother donkey, the baby is automatically included, but with a mother cow, it's not. If he says, I'm selling you the mother and the baby, I feel the part of nonami, then the same thing would apply even if it's a cow and a calf. And if you didn't say, I'm selling you the animal and the baby, the mother and the baby, I feel the chamor nami loy. Then it shouldn't include, even by a donkey, it shouldn't include the baby. The Mishnah is saying that there's a distinction between a donkey and a cow, implying that there's a case where you would have sold in the case where it is included in the case of the donkey, but not in the case of the cow. But what is that? It seems whether you specified or not, there should be no distinction. Why is there a distinction between the species? Amar Papa, so Papa says, because the case of the Mishnah is where he tells him, I'm selling you a lactating donkey or a lactating cow, milk of an animal that's producing milk, a donkey or a cow, respectively. Now, now, when it comes to a cow, the milk has a double purpose. It has a double use over there. It can be used to feed the cow's baby, the calf, but it can also be used, you yourself can milk the animal, and it's kosher milk, and you can use it and you can drink it or do whatever you would do with milk. So therefore, so it's more likely when he's saying, I'm selling you a lactating cow, he doesn't necessarily mean to throw in the baby that's nursing from that milk. He just means that now you have a cow available where not only you could do whatever you want with the cow in terms of work or shechting it or whatever, but if you want to keep it and use its milk, you'll have that option as well. When it comes to a donkey, which is a non-kosher animal, and the milk isn't kosher either, so what would he be telling him? I'm selling you the donkey, and you can use the milk. What are you going to do with the milk? Now, to be sure, the Rashba points out, you could be buying the donkey in order to nurse another donkey. You could have, for example, you have another baby donkey whose mother is not producing milk, or even that died, or whatever, and now you want to buy another donkey to nurse it. But that's not common enough that we should assume that he's selling him for that purpose. Therefore, it's more likely shmamina ki uvna kamalei. Therefore, it's more likely that he means I want to sell you the donkey together with the baby that goes with it, because that would explain why would I want to sell you, or why would you be interested in buying specifically a donkey that's lactating, because I'm throwing in the baby as well, and you're going to need that in order to feed. So that would be the distinction. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'amai korle siach." Now, why in the Mishnah is a baby donkey called a siach? And the reason is from a halach achar sichana, it follows nice speech. Meaning an older donkey, it's not necessarily you tell it to come here and it's going to listen. But a baby donkey, you talk to it and you talk to it nicely and gently, or you motion to it or whatever, and it'll go where you want. So the Mishnah is calling that siach, so that we realize that point. So having mentioned the word siach, then now the Gemara brings a drasha in that connection. Now you have in Parshas Chukas, you have it tells over there how the Jewish people have the Jewish people defeated Sichon and took over his land, and the pasuk goes on to say over there that this land had not always belonged to Sichon; it used to belong to Moav and Ammon. Sichon had conquered parts of those lands, and now, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Amun Umoy of Taru b'Sichon, that those lands, that, like this, Hashem had told the Jewish people in Parshas Devarim, don't attack Moav or Amun as you pass by their lands. Don't try to take over any of their lands; they're reserved for them. But now that Sichon had conquered parts of their lands, then Taru b'Sichon, now those lands became purified and available for the Jewish people to conquer, and eventually Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe settled over there. So now, in Parshas Chukas, in that connection, after it explains that point, then it goes on to quote Al Kein Yomru HaMoshlim, that therefore, because of this, the Moshlim, which in the simple sense means the ones who would say parables and songs about current events or whatever, are saying such and such. Rashi explains over there that this is a, it's a, it's quoting what Bilam and his father had been hired by Sichon to curse Moav and Ammon, that they would be defeated in battle, and sure enough, it worked, and Sichon conquered those lands. So the Psukim over there quote this Al Kein Yomru HaMoshlim and quote the song that they said, cursing Moav and celebrating Sichon's triumph. But the question is, I mean, why does the Torah need to tell us that? That part is ancient history. All that's relevant for us is to know that Sichon conquered those lands, and now they're available for us, for us Jewish people to take. So why do we need to quote those Moshlim? So now the Gemara is going to douse in something that those Psukim are talking about something entirely different. And then in connection, as we go through the Drasha, we're going to mention the word Siach, which is why the Gemara is bringing it in over here. So Amr Shmuel Nachman Amr Rabbi Yechanan, my dichtiv al ken yomru hamoshlim. So the pasuk says, and let's quote the pesukim in full first, and then we'll analyze them. The pasuk says al ken yomru hamoshlim. The simple sense is then because of this, those who say parables, meaning again as it actually says, Bilam and his father Baruch say, boyu sichon. Boyu Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, which is the capital city. Tibonev Sichon and Ir Sichon, let Sichon's city be built and established. In other words, they're prophesying that Sichon will conquer Cheshbon from Moab and make it its capital. They continue, Ki Eish Yotzeh Mecheshbon, a fire has come out from Cheshbon. Lahava Makiryas Sichon, a flame has come out from the city of Sichon. Ochla Ur Moav, consumed Ur, which is one of the provinces of Moav. Bale Bomis Arnon, and it's consumed the people, the owners of the high places by the Arnon. Then they continue with curse against Moav, Oilacha Moav, etc. And then they continue, Vaniram Ovan Cheshbon, their kingship, Moav's kingship, was lost from Cheshbon. Ad Divon, Divon was removed from their ownership. Divon being another city in that area. Vanashi Manoifach, and we did, and we made them, we laid them waste. We devastated them until Noifach, Asher Ad Medva, which is close to Medva. So that's the simple meaning of the psukim. Now the Gemara is going to douse in it in an entirely different way. So the word Hamoshlim refers to those who control their Yetzirah. So they say, Boyu Cheshbon, when they say come to Cheshbon, Cheshbon is not just the name of a city. And Evra Yaudin means Boyu Nechashav Cheshbonu Shel Olam. Come, let's calculate the calculation of the world, the calculations that a person needs in order to be a good Yid. Hefs and Mitzvah, Keneged Schara, consider sometimes that you lose out. You seemingly lose out from doing a mitzvah because, for example, the Rashbam says you might right now you're doing the mitzvah and therefore you're not engaging in business and you're not making a profit at that time, or you're giving tzedakah and losing money from that. But keneged schara, calculate on the other hand, consider the tremendous reward that you get for it, which makes it all worthwhile. The hefs of schar aveda keneged hafseda, and contrarily, you may seem to gain from an Aveda right now, but you're going to hold yourself back and not try to earn that extra profit dishonestly or by breaking a mitzvah or whatever, Keneged Hafseda, because you're going to consider the great loss that's going to come about in the future when you do that. So that's the Boyu Cheshbon. And then when the pasuk continues, Tibon of Sikonin, it shall be built and established, meaning Imata Oisikain, if you act in that way, if you live your life that way, constantly making those calculations and realizing basically it's not worth it to do this Aveda because I stand to lose more than I'm going to gain, and it's worth it to do this mitzvah because I stand to gain more than I lose. So if you do that, then you'll be built up in this world and established in the next world. On the other hand, the pasuk can use Ir Sichon, the city of Sichon, which means Im Mesim Adam Atzmei Ka'ayir Zeh. On the other hand, if a person is going to act, the word Ir means a city. The word Ayir, also the word Ayir, same letters but with different nakudas, means a young animal, a young donkey or a young horse or whatever. If a person is going to, if a person is going to be like an Ayir, like an unrestrained animal. Shemahal and Sichon, Shemahal Chacha Sichana, and he's just going to follow nice talk. So his Yetzirah is going to talk him into doing such and such, and he's just going to go along with it, like the way we just said that a Siach is so called because it goes after Sichana. You speak nicely to it, and it goes wherever you want. If a person is going to be that way, then Maksivachra of them, the next pasuk continues, Ki Eish Yotzame Cheshben, that a fire came out from Cheshben and consumed, etc. So that means Teitze Esh Memachashvin means a fire is going to come forth from the tzaddikim who do make that calculation that we said before and control their Yetzirah and realize that basically it's not worth doing Averis. The Seichal Eschein and Machashvin, and that fire is going to consume the ones who don't make that calculation and who go and just follow their Yetzirah's sweet talk. So that's the Kiesh Yotze Mecheshvin. And what continues, V'lahava Mekiryas Sichon, when it continues, a flame comes out from the city of Sichon, that means Mekiryas Tzadikim Shenikru Sichon. That means that a fire is going to come forth from the city, from the place of the Tzadikim, where the Tzadikim are called. So here we're using Sichon in a different sense. Before we use Sichon to represent Sichana, nice talk. Now we're saying the word Sich, the Shodash Siach, though, also means a tree, and Tzadikim are compared to trees, like Tzadik Katam Yifrach, Keres Balvon and Yiske. The Rashbam brings several other explanations where we find in various places in the Gemara where Tzadikim are compared to various types of trees. So therefore, so it means that a fire is going to come forth from them, Ochla Or Moyav, and consumes Or of Moyav. So again, we're doubting in the word Or, on the simple sense, means the name of a province of the country of Moyav, but we're doubting it is related to the word Ir, and in turn to the word Ayur that we said before, which means a young animal. So Zeha Mahalach Acha Yitzroi, so it refers to somebody who follows his Yetzahara, to Ayu Zesha Mahalach Acha Sichana, like a baby animal that just follows nice talk. So a fire is going to come forth from the tzaddikim and consume such people. Marsha has a very, very, very long explanation over here, which is he explains our Gemara in light of the, you have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that mentions you have the three midas of the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu in Parakeh and Pirkei Avos, and the three opposite midas that are the midas of Bilam HaRosha, and the Mishnah goes on to contrast them. So Marsha explains at great length, the Mishnah means, in other words, that a person needs some of both. For example, you have Ayin Tova among the Midas of Abraham, and on the contrary, among the Midas of Bilam, you have Ayin Ra. The fact is, a person can't have exclusively Ayin Tova. That would mean, for example, he's going to go give away all his money and have nothing for himself. He has to have a little bit of Ayin Ra as well. Nevertheless, though, our Gemara is telling us you still have to do a cheshbon in that. You have to be careful. You're going to be more on the side of Abraham, and you only use Bilam's method only when absolutely necessary, and similarly with the other ones. So therefore, he says that's why the Gemara now is doubting of a few psukim that were said by Bilam and by his father, because they were the ones who embodied the bad sides of those midas, and on the other hand, we're saying don't be like them. Be like the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. And if you do, then we have, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that every person has, to begin with, a chelik in Gan Eden and a chelik in Gehenna. A tzaddik ends up not needing his chelik in Gehenna. It winds up going to another Rasha. The Rasha doesn't end up getting his chelik in Gan Eden. Therefore, it goes to a tzaddik. So here, that's the Gemara is using that for that, the metaphor that a fire comes out from the tzaddikim, from the moshlim, from the mechashlim, from the ones who make this calculation and consume the other ones, meaning, in other words, that because the tzaddikim acted the way they were supposed to, their fire of Gehenna, the Gehenna fire that would have been otherwise reserved for them, is not needed, and it winds up consuming the Rishoyim, who should have learned from them to be like them, and vice versa. So that's the Durasha over here. There is, by the way, in... There is a in the Kutta Torah, in this parasha, and in Parashas Chukas, there's a long maimer over there from the Alter Rebbe that discusses this whole thing on a different level and explains that the Moshlim B'Yitzram. So yeah, like we're saying over here, it means where they calculate Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schara. The Alter Rebbe explains also the point that it means that they calculate. Look, how much olam, how much helam, how much concealment of the course is there in the world, and contra, and therefore, in terms of that, how much dili of the course do I need to work on? How much, what do I need to do in terms of mitzvahs in order to counteract that helam and bring a revelation of the course in the world? So that's Hamoshlim B'Yitzram, and that's the where they make the calculation, Baruch Nachash of Cheshbonish Olam, and he goes on to explain that the sikhana that we're referring to over here, on the surface, it means like we're like the Rashbam said, it means the sweet talk of the Yetzirah, which a person has to be careful not to follow. The Alter Rebbe explains over there, it also means, though, the good speech of tefillah. So you have, in other words, that part of that cheshbonish shel olam, and part of what a person needs to accomplish in terms of avodas habirurim in this world, is to have the sikhana, to have the good speech of davening. And the Alter Rebbe goes on to explain in some detail over there why, in this context, davening is called sikha. Then the drosha continues. Bale bomis arnon, when it says that this fire consumed the masters, the owners of the high place of arnon. So the Gemara continues. Eli gase haruach. That refers to the people of gase haruach, the people who are pran. They get consumed by this fire that comes from the tzaddikim. Dorma Maris, in fact, the Braisa says, "Kol adam sheyesh begasas haruach nofel begehenna." The person who has that trait of gasas haruach winds up in Gehenna. So therefore, that's the baled bomis aunin of the pasuk. Hints at that point. Again, Maharsha explains over here that we see that Bilam himself had that bad midah. It's one of the ones mentioned in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that nefesh gvoya. So we're saying, in other words, that a fire is going to come from the tzaddikim and consume such people. He had the bad midah of listening to his yetzahara, and he also had the bad midah of gasas aruah. Then the pasuk continues. The next pasuk continued vaniram oven cheshben. So the Gemara continues dashening that. Maharsha points out here the Gemara is skipping a pasuk in the middle. There you have a pasuk in the middle. Which is a curse against Moyav, and saying, "Woe to you, Moyav, the people of Kamosh, which was their Getchke, have been destroyed." Maharsha explains the Gemara is not bringing that pasuk, because that pasuk, at least, we need in order to understand what happened over there, that Sichon conquered those lands of Moyav, and therefore that now their spoils and their land and the people they captured, etc., are available for the taking. So we don't need, so we do need that pasuk for the future of the Jewish people, but the other psukim, which seem to just be their song of triumph in honor of Sichon, we don't, on the face of it, we don't really need, which is why the Gemara is darshaning those psukim. Anyway, the pasuk continues, vaniram, which the simple meaning of vaniram, Rashi explains, means their kingship. But here we're darshaning, omar rosha ein rom. Means the Rosha says, Niram, ain Ram, there is no higher one. He denies Hashem. Ovad Cheshbon, and when the pasuk continues, Cheshbon is lost, means he thinks Ovad Cheshbon is Shalom, that means this whole calculation of the world is lost. There's no need to make any such calculations. We can live it up now and do whatever we want and not worry about the consequences later. However, Ad Divine, when the pasuk says Divine has been removed from Moyav's rulership, meaning we douse in the word divine, she yovaydin. Omar Akash Boko Hamten and she yovaydin. So Hashem says, don't think you're going to get away with it. Wait until the judgment comes and you're going to see the truth that Hashem does judge and there is a judgment. And when it continues, vanashim, we destroyed ad noifach until noifach, which again, the simple sense means that we destroyed Moab's power as far as the city of Noifach, means we're doushening vanashim as we're doushening vanashim as a ad noifach. Noifach literally means to blow, like to blow on a fire to increase the flame. Ad chetovei eshein etzrichan nifuach. You're gonna see there's gonna come a flame of Gehenim that doesn't need to be blown on, and you're gonna see you're gonna wind up in there. Hashem is warning the Rishoy. And when it says ad medra. And as far as Medva, which in the simple sense is the name of a city, means we're dashing ad tadiv nishmasan, there's until the neshama is going to be disappointed and destroyed for what they did. The Amulo, others say, Ad Ovid, my deboy, there's going to come the point when Hashem is going to do whatever he plans to do for the Rishoyim. So yes, in Olam Hazeh, sometimes we see that Rishoyim are successful, but we're doubting Meidva, Ad my deboy, and Meidva is short for my deboy. So in other words, the last pasuk is saying over there, here the Rishoyim think they're going to get away with it. There's no judgment, etc. But Hashem is saying, don't you're going to see soon enough that there is in fact, and therefore you better shape up. Marsha explains that the Gemara is using three expressions. First of all, corresponding to the three midas that we said that Bilam Arasha has, but also because you have three stages of the din. You have the din of the guf in the kever. You have the din of the neshama, and then you have the Gemara and Sanhedrin mentions that there's going to come a point Hashem is going to put the guf and the neshama together and judge them together, because after all, the guf couldn't have accomplished anything without the neshama, nor the neshama without the guf. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives a mashal about it, about two people who joined forces to rob the king's orchard, and in the same way we hear the guf and the neshama, nefesh bamis that is, are like that. And therefore, there comes a point when they're judged together. So Maharsha says then that the triple expression over here about Shiyo ad Shiyove Din, ad Shetove Eish, and ad Shetat and ad Shetadiv Nishmasen, ad Deboi My Deboi, ad Deoven My Deboi is referring to those three stages of the judgment that Hashem is going to to execute against the Rishoyim, who think like that we don't need Cheshbon Shalolam, we can do whatever I want. So Hashem shows them it's not so, and there's going to be this triple level of judgment. And then on the other hand, we're saying that the tzaddikim, from the tzaddikim who did act properly, so a flame comes forth from them that we said, because in other words, they don't need their chelik in Gehenna. It goes to the Rishoyim, and on the other hand, the chelik that would have gone to those Rishoyim in Gan Eden ends up going to those tzaddikim. The Vilna Gaon actually has an explanation about this Gemara as well. A large part of his explanation is along the same lines as Maharsha, but he says at the end over here that the Gemara is talking about the fact. The fact is, as Rashbam says, we often see that Rishoyim are very successful in this world. So the last part, Ad Ovid Mai Deboi, is not referring to Hashem, like the Rashbam says, judging them. Rather, he says it means that sometimes you have Hashem allows the Rasha to remain successful until he accomplishes everything that he wanted to, and then Hashem will deal with him afterwards in Olam Habah.